We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
Again, moving on here in verse 32. If he brings a lamb as his sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish. Interesting. The word lamb here, Hebrew word, kevez. It means lamb, but it comes from a root word which means to dominate, which I find very fascinating. I would submit to you, I know you think I'm going to go in the wrong way here. I am not. This, I would submit to you, symbolizes Christ's domination over sin. I find this very interesting. I want you to go to Romans chapter 6. The Lamb is going to dominate, and Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But in Romans chapter 6, in Romans 6, we read this, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Does sin continue to have to dominate you, to have dominion over you after you've received Jesus and the Holy Spirit has come inside of you? Right here. May it never be. Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Guess what? I received Jesus. My flesh, Jesus died, went and was buried, and rose again. When he died, all sin upon him. Judgment of God, that sin has been judged. It no longer has power and is now buried. And Jesus' resurrection shows that sin and death could not keep him down. Why? Because he was perfect. That's why. And the wage of sin is death. Well, guess what? He never sinned. So death could not hold him. So again here, do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So when you receive Jesus, your sin that has dominion over you, whatever that sin is, or sins plural, guess what? Has been taken on the cross, is now buried. That sin no longer has dominion over you. Now, you may allow for it to. You may choose to continue to sin after you receive the Lord. But just so you know, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you choose to submit yourself to the Lord and through the Holy Spirit, that sin will no longer have dominion over you. It has been buried. It is now gone. And so it goes on and says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How can you walk in newness of life if that sin still has dominion over you? How is that possible? It's not possible. I'm not saying it's not difficult still, that when you come to know the Lord, that you still don't struggle with that. Yes, but guess what? You now have the Holy Spirit, which you did not have before. And now you have to learn what it is to submit to the Lord every day and be able to allow for the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and give you wisdom and help you to walk in newness of life, as opposed to how you walked before, where sin had dominion over you. So it goes on and it says, knowing this, that our old man, that woman that sin had dominion over, was crucified with him, Christ, that the body of sin, that old body that sin had dominion, that body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. It can't have dominion over us anymore. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That speaks of us. We died with Christ. Now, if indeed with Christ, we believe that we shall also... Now, let's read that again. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That happens every day. You wake up in the morning, you throw yourself down before the Lord. And I am here now to be alive in God, dead to my sin. And you're going to read the word of God, and you're going to all of a sudden feed the Spirit. And you're going to pray, and God will give you strength that day to have dominion over sin. And so he goes on and he says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign, same word as dominion, in your mortal body that you should obey in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. These are my members. My body, that's my member. Okay, don't present it to sin. Well, how do you do that? Let's say you struggle with alcohol. Okay, you give your life to the Lord. You go back to your house. You have beer everywhere. You have wine everywhere. You have all this alcohol. Okay, how do you not present your body to sin? Well, for one, you go in there, wisdom, the Lord would tell you, hey, get rid of the alcohol. So guess what? When you go home, that isn't there. Your body isn't presented before the sin that's before you. There are certain things that is just wisdom, okay? Hey, that bar you usually go to, guess what? You're not going to present your members there at that bar. Instead, you're going to present your body in a place that is going to do what? Pour into your spirit. That's why you're here at church. This is why you present yourself before God through the word, by reading the word. This is why you pray with other people, because you're beginning to build your spirit. And you're becoming strong in the Lord, not in the members of your flesh. And look what it says. And you shall not have dominion over you, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Sin should not have dominion over you. Okay? And it's the blood of Christ, and it is Christ himself that has dominion over sin. And in this, in the Lamb, we hear those words, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because guess what? Death could not hold him because he did not sin. He did not sin. Leviticus 4:33. Then he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, kill it as a sin offering at the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering. Again, the same thing, power in the blood, okay? On the altar there, on the horns of the altar, and pour out all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all its fat, as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering. Then the priest shall burn it on the altar according to the offering made by fire to the Lord. So the priest shall make atonement for his sin that he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Atonement is made, forgiveness is given. And that all points to the person of Jesus. And so whether it's a male goat or female lamb, the blood is applied on the horns of the brazen altar to show that only Jesus has power to take away sin. Okay? And Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that's going to bring us peace with God. And again, that fat is given to the Lord, the best to the Lord, as the same as a peace offering is what's being said there. So again, I want to see this. Sin offering is about our sin nature, okay? We do things unintentionally. We can't help it. This is just who we are, but now Jesus has come. So guess what? Our sin nature no longer has dominion over us. That's what Jesus came to show with his offering. Now, trespass offering. But I got myself in this situation, Okay? Okay. Jesus will also change that situation. It's kind of looking at it this way. You're out there partying, having a good time. God convicts you. But in the meantime, before you're convicted and come to Christ, you slept with somebody and you got that person pregnant. Okay? Meanwhile, a couple weeks later, you go to church with a friend, and all of a sudden you hear the gospel presented. You go to the Lord. You ask for forgiveness for your sin. You are now forgiven. You've given your life to the Lord. And bam, she's no longer pregnant. No. Doesn't work that way. The situation is still the same. But you're saved. Yes, you are. But this is what your sin has created. And without Jesus, where would that have gone? Now that you have Jesus, at least this pregnancy, this child, is going to have a Christian dad. See how that changes the situation than before? And where's that going to go from there? Don't know. We'll pray it through. We'll see what the Lord does. Does it mean, oh, that you're going to marry her and happy days and you're going to have this wonderful Christian family? It doesn't mean that. It could. God could do that. But he could do other things as you remain strong in your faith with the Lord. If anything, that child now will have a Christian father. And now that person you slept with has a witness of someone who now knows the Lord. Okay? That situation will eventually change. Okay? For how that goes, don't know. But God will eventually change that situation. That is what the trespass offering has to do with, as we'll see here. Now, again, the trespass offering is divided into two categories, okay? Leviticus 5, 14 through 19, these are trespasses against God, okay? Leviticus 6, 1 through 7, this will be trespasses against other people, okay? Against other people. Verse 14 says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is a new section, all right? We saw this already in Leviticus 1:1, Leviticus 4:1. We see it here in Leviticus 5:14. We're going to see it again in Leviticus 6:1. Okay. If a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, trespass here is a Hebrew word, ma'al. It means unfaithful or treacherous act against God or man. It comes from a primitive root that means to cover up. In a figurative sense, it's seen as acting covertly and thus treacherously. The word offering is a sham, and it means offense, fault, guilt, or restitution. Now, this is about the holy things of the Lord. It's generally considered to mean things like neglecting to redeem your firstborn, okay, with an offering, not observing the law of tithes, failing to offer first fruits and the like that. It's defrauding in spiritual matters. The intent of the word sins unintentionally is the same as that we read before. It's unintentional. But once you realize it, you're to bring this offering. I want you to go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the very last book of the Old Testament. If you know where Matthew is, go one book to the left. Okay. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, and how we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house. And try me now in this. This is the only place that God says to test him. And I would say this is the place that we probably needed God to tell us to test him. Especially when it comes to men. And especially when it comes to money and finances. We need to be able to test God in this, believe God that when we give what he has told us to give him, with our money, with our tithes, with our offerings. He then promises this. Try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. What he is saying here is that you cannot outgive me. That's exactly what he has just said there. Test me in this. Okay, I'm going to give $100. I better get $1,000 back. No. Okay. You're going to test him in this for the rest of your life. And as you test him in this for the rest of your life, he is going to outgive you. Okay? He is going to outgive you. And look what he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, the one that wants to steal everything that you're making, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So they are ripping off the Lord by not giving the best sacrifice. It probably had a little bit of a limp. It was a little bit older. It wasn't a year old. You know, things like that. Or they weren't bringing it at all, claiming to be poor, bringing a grain offering when you definitely could have brought a lamb. Okay? Things like that. Withholding from him. Trespassing against him. There's some evil intent there. Okay? And you think you couldn't have done it, but after a while, the Lord tells you, no, you could have. You definitely could have. Okay? So, you cannot outgive God. Going back here to Leviticus. Then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks with your valuation in shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary as a trespass offering. So let's say that God has blessed the production of your fields or of your herds. And so you are going to bring an offering that might have had the valuation of maybe 20 shekels of silver, okay? So when you first read this, it might look like that because you did not give what you were supposed to give, you just bring a ram offering, and then you add to it a fifth. In the way of restitution. The next verse, verse 16, it says, and he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing, and shall add one-fifth to it. Give it to the priest, so the priest shall make atonement for him in the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. So there are those who think that you just bring a ram, and then you add one-fifth to whatever the ram's valuation is. So if a ram is valued at 5 shekels, and you add a fifth of that, then you add another shekel, okay? So now you give 6 shekels, all right? Now, there are those who think, no, if someone was supposed to give a valuation of their produce that would have equaled 20 shekels, okay, then you are to come and bring that valuation with the priest. The priest, you talk to him, he says, yeah, you probably should have given 20 shekels or 20 shekels worth of produce, you know, to the Lord because of how much he has blessed you. Okay, so now you owe a fifth of that, so that'd be 4 more shekels. Last night I said 5. I don't do well at math. 4 more shekels, a fifth, okay? And so now you give 24 shekels and you offer a ram on top of that, okay? That seems to make more sense to me, because that is what's going to encourage you in the future not to forgive to bring your offering, okay? Because if you make more and more and more, and if the only fine is going to be a ram that's worth 5 shekels and you just add 1 shekel, then the most that you could ever be, in a sense, fined or penalized is 6 shekels. Doesn't matter how much you withhold. But if you withhold a lot and they understand that valuation, not only are you paying that valuation, which you should have, but now it is a fifth on top of that. And the more that you make, the more that God is blessing, then the more that that fifth is going to be. And so, again, it seems to me it'd be more of a deterrent that after you do it once, you're not going to want to do that again. And so you'll be a little bit more diligent of what it is that you're supposed to bring to the Lord. So, this says here in verse 16, it says, "And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done." Well, what kind of harm? Well, to the Lord, I get that. "He shall add one-fifth to it and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him for the ram of the trespass offering and shall be forgiven him." These holy things, the amount defrauded, and so these holy things of the Lord were to be provided for those who have no inheritance of their own when it comes to the poor. It also has to do with the priests who had no inheritance in the land. It was there to provide for them as well. I have this up on the screen, but Deuteronomy 14:28 says this: "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." See, you withheld, and because of your sin, even though the sin offering takes care of your sin, the trespass offering begins to take care of the mess that your sin caused. Guess what? There's not enough shekels in the tabernacle there to take care of the poor. This is what your mess has caused. And because of that, you're going to add more shekels to the treasury there as you give there to the priest in order to take care of this mess that you have created by them not being able to give to the poor, or possibly not being able to bring that ram or some of the other offerings to where the priest and the Levites could eat, and now they're doing without. And so you've caused this mess, and it's not you, but it's other people that are doing the same thing. And so now you're going back in to change this mess that your sin has created. It has affected the priesthood. It has affected the other Levites that don't have an inheritance. It's affected those who are poor, because there's not enough to give them. This is what your sin has caused. It's gone beyond you and the Lord. It's now society has been hurt by it. Okay? So this is what this is now taking care of. In verse 17 of Leviticus 5, "If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity." In verses 17 through 19, we have a partial repeat of what we just seen in verses 14 through 16. The difference is that those in verses 14 through 16 were a matter of certainty, meaning that they have come to know that they have sinned. Verses 17 through 19 has to do with people that are kind of going, "I don't feel right. There is something that the Lord is putting on my heart that I haven't done, yet I can't put my finger on what it is that I haven't done. But the Lord has put it on my heart." And so you're going to go to the priest. The priest is going to kind of ask you, "Did you give this? Yes. Did you give this? Yes. Did you give this? I'm not sure. I think it did, but I'm not sure about that. Okay, what about this? Yeah, I'm not sure about this either. It was so long ago, I'm not sure if I did this or didn't do this. Okay, well, the Lord's obviously putting something on your heart. Okay, so let's go ahead and make this trespass offering. Can't put a finger on exactly what it is that I withheld from." Okay. So he says here, "If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it." This one he doesn't know. He can't put a finger on it. Yet he is guilty. He just has this sense. When you receive the Lord, you know sometimes by your actions that later on God is convicting you of something. And you go, "I don't know what it is." And you go to the Lord, and then he shows you it's because of this. And you go, "Ah, I didn't even realize it at the time." That's the conscience. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of what's happening here.
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.